Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
All right, now, something that's not happening really until the 27th of October, and we kind of won't know who's in the mix till in and around June, July, when people commit their names, get nominated by TDs or by local councils or whatever it happens to be, is the presidential election. Of course, Michael Lee Higgins has on his last legs, so to speak, when it comes to being a president, not obviously physically, when it comes to being a president, because he can't run again. He can only do two terms. Although he did say initially he was only ever going to do one term, and then, of course, he ran a second time, but he can't run again. There's always an argument, by the way, the president should only be 5 years and not seven. But then again, I suppose with the Irish presidency, because they don't have a huge amount of power, doesn't really make a huge amount of difference whether it's five or seven. Although it might be better to have five because we have a bigger mix of people. And maybe they shouldn't be allowed to run a second term. But I want to get your thoughts on who you think should become Ireland's next head of state. Now, remember, of course, the presidency in Ireland, as I said, they don't hold too much power. They're more of a figurehead. There's somebody that you believe is a good person to represent the views of the Irish people. That's really what it is. Now, of course, they do sign laws. If they're not happy with a law or a bill that's passed by government, they can hand it on to the Supreme Court or the Council of State and they can refuse to sign it. There is an argument the president is not allowed to have an opinion. That's complete and utter nonsense. They can't have an opinion officially in a statement, but they can have a private opinion and they're allowed to put it up, for example, on Twitter. That would be different. I don't see President Michael D. Higgins up on Twitter putting up stuff like Donald Trump. But then again, we've seen Donald Trump over the last, you know, 6 or 7 months, or well, certainly over the last probably 7 or 8 years, quite active. And I wonder if the Irish president was so active on Twitter, would he get away with it? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Anyway, to run to the latest odds of who's running is Sharon McHugh from Boyle Sports. And Sharon joins me now. Sharon, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. Sharon, firstly, how accurate are... Now, I suppose at this point, they're not very accurate because we don't even know if people are running or not. They haven't committed to it. But how accurate generally are, you know, the odds? Because when I was running in the European elections... I mean, Boyle Sports were very good to me, by the way. They had me in third and fourth place.
Well, I was just talking to your producer there, Niall, and I mean, you're very popular. I mean, I've heard your listeners would support you going for the Oris, so who knows? We might see your 200-to-1 odds come in over the next few months.
By the way, I've just noticed, I've just seen my name appear at 200-to-1, by the way. At least I'm in there with Joe Duffy and I'm in there with Joe Duffy and Nina Carberry and Dana as well. I'm happy that I'm way ahead of Panty Bliss, by the way. Can I just point that out?
Well, look, to answer your question, it's not very accurate at the moment. I mean, all we can go off is recent opinion polls. You know, we've seen Mairead McGuinness recently top one, I think just this month, actually. And even before Christmas, she was doing well. The same with Bertie Ahern, like only last year, he would have been actually shorter. We had him as short as 7-2. He's now gone out slightly. The kind of chatter around the Teflon Taoiseach has definitely subsided. But he's
the Teflon Taoiseach.
Yeah, exactly. You'll never leave him, will it, that nickname?
No.
But like I said, you'll hear chatter. And actually this week, off the back of several rumours, we've seen Frances Black, which people will know as the singer, more so than her politics.
She's been in the news quite a bit over the last week or so, of course, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I read her article. And she's 4-to-1. So she's been very well backed. And I would say there's some shrewd bets on that. Obviously, I can't give away any details, but I would say there's some shrewd bets on her. But as you said, you know, as Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil put through their candidates and, you know, over the next few months, you'll start to see it taking shape properly then.
Yeah, I wonder how many are actually going to be in it this year. I mean, generally, there's usually 7-8 is usually the most you ever see in a presidential election. That's usually what you'll see. Because firstly, you have to get nominated by the councils or by 20 TDs and senators. So that's the first task and the first hurdle for all of these people who want to run. And then secondly...
Or unless they're a former or retiring... Well, it's not going to be Michael D.
No, that's not this time. Well, a former president. Well, I don't know if they've... Yeah, well, they have to have only done one term. So I'm trying to think of who's only done one term. Yeah. You're talking about doing a Donald Trump on it and coming back, like. Yeah. So, but the other thing as well is the money aspect of it. Financially, it's difficult. You've got to have a few quid behind you.
Yes. And, you know, the thing with Frances Black, she's popular. She could, you know, I was listening to some people chat recently and they were saying she could definitely get the support of the left parties, the Sinn Féin, Labour, Social Dems, and they could come together. She would get plenty of support. And also some chatter that this could become less about a political person, but more somebody that people can relate to. And she's very relatable, very likable, very relatable.
Yeah.
You know, as I said, people recognise her as a singer first and foremost. So definitely not one to be sniffed at. And then we've got Roisin Shortall in there as well. She entered the betting from nowhere when she topped another opinion poll before Christmas, and she's 7-to-1. Tommy Tiernan, 16 to 1.
Tommy, I don't know whether he's running or not, but yeah, he's up there. I've heard people talking about Tommy Tiernan. Michael McDougall, of course, the former Minister for Justice, who was very instrumental in getting the no vote in the recent referendum. I suppose that's something that's made him quite popular again.
Absolutely, and he was second in a recent poll. So, you know, 16 to 1 could be seen as a really good bet at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you've got Conor McGregor, who's, we don't know. I mean, he keeps saying he's going to, well, he will or he won't run for presidency. I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know how popular.
Well, despite his step to legitimise a potential role, like I've seen, like, tweets or exes or whatever you might call them of him over at the US inauguration. Mm-hmm. And he was definitely gambled about a year ago, but I think we've seen money dry up for him since then. So I couldn't see it happen personally, and he's 100 to 1.
Joe Brawley, Jerry Adams. Jerry's a bit old, isn't he? I don't know whether Jerry will run or not.
He's a bit old. Yeah, I mean,
sorry, I don't want to be ageist. I don't want to be ageist about this, but you know.
Well, Mary Lou did say that she doesn't think he has any interest in the job.
Probably not.
Of course,
no.
Mary Lou is in there, but she's made it very clear that she's happy where she is.
Micheál Martin, of course. Now, of course, Micheál is desperate to become the Taoiseach at the moment, but I wonder would he be willing to drop that to become the president? After today.
Is he really going to be these, like, no.
It's like the Muppet Show in there today. I swear to God, these people need to have more respect for the electorate. They really do.
This is definitely a year for wild politics between the US, what's going on with our own government and the formation of the new government, and what will probably transpire over the next few months as people start making their way to the top of the betting for the Irish president. We're in for a very interesting year, Niall.
Yeah, Leo Varadkar, by the way. I don't know whether he would be popular enough. I think he left at just the right time. He left politics, and I spoke to him, and I think politics, he's done with it. He's just done with it. Because he said to me... I was chatting to him in a waiting room for a radio station. We were being interviewed, the two of us, and I was chatting to him, and he said to me, and this is around the time he was just packing it in, and he said to me, you know what? He said, it's going to be great, he said, because I got a text from a friend yesterday and said, can you meet up, you know, for dinner on Saturday, you know, with his partner? Can we meet up for, you know, for dinner? And he said, normally I'd have to say no, because I just don't know what I'm going to be doing. I could be over in Israel. I could be over in America. I could be over in whatever. I don't know, doing negotiating or whatever it is that normally Taoiseachs do. And he said, so I could never, ever give anybody an appointment, you know, friends. But he said, now I can. Yeah. And he said to be able to go out at the weekend. So he doesn't want to go back to politics. He doesn't want that anymore. So I don't think he's going
to
run.
Well, he is 100 to 1 in the betting, so it does indicate that he won't. He doesn't have an interest. Yeah. Someone else in the betting, which I think is an interesting one, to be honest, I don't know whether he'd have an interest or go for it, but Jarlath Burns, the GAA president, have you ever seen him speak? He's very inspirational.
Right, okay.
You know, he's given speeches at GAA, a croaker, and he's very inspiring. So that's an interesting one, and he's 20 to 1 in there. But Niall, what are the chances? Would you be interested yourself?
I think President Boylan kind of has a ring to it. What do you think,
maybe
Sharon?
Maybe not this term, but maybe in the future, you know?
Yeah, but somebody needs to give me the money, you know, because I was speaking to somebody recently about the cost of running for presidency. Look, the cost of running as a TD or a European candidate are expensive enough, right? But to run as a president, because I don't think people understand the cost factor. Like, you take, for example, even putting posters up on, which is still the main thing to do.
Campaign. You need a good campaign.
Yeah, it's like a tenner a poster. If you're putting up 5,000 posters, like, there's 50 grand gone, right? Because it's a tenner to have it put up, taken down, printed, right? So all those things cost money. And you're only allowed a donation up to €1,000. That's the max donation you're allowed to take. Now, maybe they should review that now, because we've moved on in time. €1,000 is not worth as much as it was when we brought those rules in years ago. So maybe they could up that to €5,000 for the presidential election. You can spend a maximum. I think the maximum is about €700,000. But I think normally, I believe, a campaign will cost you about €250,000. So that's a lot of money. You know what I mean?
It's a lot of money. Not to be sniffed off.
Yeah, so I find that a little bit unconstitutional, to be honest with you, because it rules out a lot of people. I know it's the same in every country, by the way. You have to campaign. But it kind of rules out a lot of people, doesn't it? Who just couldn't afford it or just wouldn't get the support initially to get those donations in. You know, so it does kind of rule out a lot of people.
Probably why, you know, you'll see I guess that's why when Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil put their support is for, they'll generally tend to be amongst the top few because they have the weight behind them. You know?
Well, they could use their own money, of course, the party money as well, as far as I know. But anyway, look, it'll be interesting. Ryan Tuberty, Dan, Conor McGregor, Nina Carberry, Leo Varadkar, Joe Brawley, Jerry Adams, Colin McGorman, of course. We never thought about Colin McGorman, actually. Head of Amnesty International. Mary Lou MacDonald, although we know she's not her name, is it? Miriam O'Callaghan.
Miriam O'Callaghan, yeah, there's been certainly rumours around Miriam for quite a while. Again, another very, very popular person. But I don't know whether she'd be interested. I mean, she's a very busy woman.
Yeah.
She's got a lot going on in her own life.
Yeah.
She's still a big family.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, but they could all move. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The house would be great.
Plenty of rooms, Niall. Plenty of rooms.
Yeah. And you're allowed, by the way, if you become the president, you're allowed to hire your own staff and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Oh, it'd be a cushy number, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Like, I could give you, Sharon, a job as my PR expert or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm straight. Listen, I'm backing you, Niall. I'm on your campaign. Well, look, I'll tell you, we'll keep you updated as the next week.
Well, you know, now, what I'm going to say to you,
and
I'll say it to you from an official point of view, don't rule it out.
Well, we heard it here first. Breaking news now. It's going to be everywhere tomorrow. You have to slash your odds now, Niall. We'll take that zero off the end.
Don't rule it out. Sharon, listen, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you very much indeed. And people can go to Boyle Sports now, by the way. You can bet on all the usual stuff, as well as all the political stuff and the presidential election. But as I said, be conscious of the fact that all of the people that are mentioned there, I don't think any of them have any of those confirmed, Sharon? Any of them at all?
Yeah, no. Yet. We've a long road to go.
Yeah.
You say a week's a long time, but we've still got months to go. So, you know.
Yeah, I think it's probably, it's October 27th, by the way, is the day of the vote. So I think realistically, it's going to be June, July before you know for sure who's running. And there might be some late entries.
They'll want to have time to you know, give themselves time to campaign and all that.
Yeah, they need 3 months to campaign. Right. Yeah, some of them will do a 3-month campaign. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed, Sharon. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having me on. I'll leave it at this, Niall. Vote Niall.
Yeah. Vote President Boylan.
President Boylan.
Maybe we should play the national anthem. I'm just thinking, Molly, every time I say President Boylan, we should play the national anthem in the background.
There you go. My new thing for the radio station.
Yeah, yeah. Sharon, listen, thank you very much indeed.
Take care.
There you go. Sharon McHugh from Boyle Sports. You can go on to Boyle Sports, by the way. The odds are there. And you can bet, by the way. Obviously, early betting is always the best way to do it, isn't it? Because you get better odds. I don't know very much about betting, but I'm assuming that's the way it works. But here's the thing. I want you to tell me, who would you vote for? Not who you wouldn't vote for, by the way. Right? And it doesn't have to be those names. It could be anybody. Who do you think would make a good president of Ireland? I'm trying to think who I think would make a good president of Ireland. I don't think, I'm going to have to say I'm sorry, but I don't think there's anybody on that list that I think, the best person I believe on that list is probably Michael McDougall. That's who I think is probably the best person on that list. Micheál Martin, no, absolutely not. Look, Micheál's a nice guy, but he's not really anything, is he? Do you know what I mean? He doesn't set the world on fire. He's not, you know what I mean? He's just a nice guy, generally speaking. He doesn't really have an opinion on anything. You know what I mean? Anyway, Sean Kelly, yeah. I mean, Sean did well in the EU elections. You know, Tommy Tiernan, no. No, not Tommy Tiernan. Frances Fitzgerald, she's made her money. She was in the EU running as a European now. She was a European MEP for long enough. You know, she's made her money. She's had her fame and fortune. Let me go to, I could be wrong. Peter Dooley, hi, how are you, Peter? Oh, your phone seems to be dodgy. Peter, pick up your phone there.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, Peter, yeah.
Hi, Niall. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, Peter from the Dublin Renters Union. Now, Peter, who do you think? I mean, it can be anybody at all. It doesn't have to be somebody on the current list, by the way, on Boyle Sports. But who do you think would make a good president of Ireland?
Well, I think it's more about what they're going to stand for in Ireland than actually the personality, because I think we're sick of this personality politics, to be honest with you.
Yeah, probably, but, yeah.
Fundamentally, well, we've no personalities currently at the moment, only a crowd of children and it's all there, and after looking at the antics today.
That was embarrassing. No, can I just say, I know I kind of giggled at it a bit earlier on. It's embarrassing. It really is. They're like a crowd of children. I mean, these are politicians voted for by the electorate and they have a responsibility to run a country. And look at them fighting like children. It's pathetic.
No, it shows the utter contempt they have for the electorate, like the way they even behave today in advance of this, the whole...
And then they're going to take another holiday as well. You know what I mean? I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I said it earlier on, by the way, whether you like Donald Trump or don't like Donald Trump, whether you like his policies or don't like his policies, Donald Trump has done more in 2 days than they've done in the last 5 years.
Well, at least he was decisive. At least he followed through on what he was talking about he was going to do, whether you agree or don't agree with it, it's irrelevant. But at least he went out and actually went ahead with policies that he said he was going to do. So, in fairness to him, you know, at least people that voted for him could say, well, that's the reason I voted for him.
Yeah, tonight he's threatening the Russians now. He's telling the Russians, end this stupid war. He's telling them.
Anyway, he's going to put tariffs.
He's going to put tariffs and all sorts of things. But look, he's also going to cut, the head of the snake, so to speak, by stop supplying the money as well. That's all going to be part of it too, you know. Anyway, back to the president of Ireland. Who do you think would make a good president then? If you believe it has to be somebody who represents the country and represents your opinions.
Well, I think there has to be, like, fundamentally has to stand up for what Ireland needs more than ever now. Like, you know, it's vitally important that somebody stands up for our sovereignty and Irish independence, and that's vital in the current state of the way things are going. Like, fundamentally, the president should be above politics. Like, and what we've seen for years and years, like Michael D. Higgins, for instance, signed in so many pieces of legislation which went against the interests of the Irish people. We saw that during COVID, for instance, like a lot of stuff that against the interest.
The water charges were the other one.
Well, exactly, the water charges, and you know, even with other pieces of legislation, there was an eviction bill that we were against as well.
He'll argue there's not a lot he could have done about it, but he could have refused to sign it and sent it to the council of state.
It's under the constitution that he can actually refer a lot of
to the Supreme Court.
To the Supreme Court, or else get invoke his council of state. So, like, you know, there are issues there where there it's the only post or position in the state that the entire population in terms of citizens can vote on. So that's why it's so important that people actually go out and vote for somebody who's actually going to stand up for the interests of what they believe in. I think personally, I think you'd be a good candidate. You've shown yourself to be principled, to stand it up against. We don't necessarily agree on everything. But I think fundamentally what I agree on with yourself is around the issues, and people should unite around these issues: the issues of sovereignty, the issues of, you know, Irish independence, having a say in our own policy,
and Ireland first. A president should always put Ireland first.
Absolutely. You know, if you don't put your interests in your country first, like, now it seems to be shameful to be proud of your country.
Oh, yeah. If you turn around and say Ireland first, or as Donald Trump would say, MAGA, make America great again, America first, you're some sort of fascist. That's bizarre.
I think it's what type of Ireland I want. Like, you know what I mean? It's, like, you look at people, like, there's a lot of people out there of great humanity. Like, one person I personally would admire, people like Kevin Crowley, you know, who's in the Capuchins in Church Street.
Yeah, great guy. Years, yeah,
gave over his time to feed so many people who were struggling with food poverty and homelessness and all for years, and for no personal benefit or gain. These people are actually show the best of what Irishness is all about and the best of humanity.
Derianne, hi, how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good, Niall. And Peter makes a lot of sense there. Did you say Peter was affiliated with something or other?
Oh, yeah, Dublin. Well, Peter's run for election a few times, local elections. He was in the Dublin Renters Union.
Yeah, I was wondering why he was making a lot of sense.
He's not the worst character in the world, yeah. Go on, Derianne.
You make a lot of sense too.
Anyway, listen, Niall, I'd put you first.
Thanks, Derianne.
Right?
Thank you.
No, and I tell you, I'm serious, and I'll tell you why. Because we need somebody who can go in there. Any of those other names I heard tonight, who wants any of them? None of those people. And they showed it tonight, what they did, or today in the Dáil. You know, how dare they treat us like imbeciles today? I didn't vote them in, obviously. Mm. But anyway, what we need as a president is somebody who's in touch with the people on the ground. And you're in touch with not only the Irish people, you're in touch with a lot of other people who've come here and are here and are citizens of here for a long time.
Mm.
And I think that would be a great asset. Now, I would definitely back you.
Yeah. I want to be officially clear that I haven't even thought about doing it, but go on. Yeah.
Yeah. But you said something to that girl tonight.
Yeah, I said, don't ever rule it out. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, don't. And I'll tell you why, because there's plenty of ways for. I'd be the very first person to set up a crowdfunding thing.
Let's go into that. Is there anybody else that you would vote for?
Oh, now you're going to hate me probably, but I'd vote for Bertie.
Bertie. Okay, so why?
Yeah.
Okay, so why Bertie? I think Peter's just fallen off his chair. Why Bertie?
I'll tell you why. Because I've always had a soft spot for him.
Yeah.
And
he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. I've met him a few times.
No, he's a lovely, genuine guy. And I used to do journalism for a local newspaper and photography. And I met him on numerous occasions. And I used to have the best of crack with them. But he, when I was working for a charity one time, like all I did was contact him. He gave his time, you know, helped us raise money for the cause I was in at the time, which I won't mention. Mm. And that's just me.
Okay,
you know.
Peter, what about, you know, Bertie Ahern? Of course, he's probably the one that everybody has talked about for the last 4 or 5 years, saying that Bertie might run to be president. He's been asked about it a few times and he hasn't kind of ruled it out, really. So, I mean, do you think he'd get a vote?
I think he would, actually. Yeah, I do, because he did.
Hang on, Derrianne, just for a second. Sorry, Peter. Peter, do you think he'd get a vote as Derrianne Wright?
Most certainly not off me. I think Bertie Ahern, if he was put in the ballot, he'd be the last person to look at voting off the ballot, to be honest with you, what he helped do to the country, helped drive the economy off the cliff and leave us with austerity for years and years, I think, as well. I think this guy has got rehabilitated from RTE over the last number of years. Like, nothing has ever happened. It's like this Men in Black moment in Ireland where they started, you know, Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh, yeah, holds the oak up and everybody forgets.
You hold it in front of somebody and says, oh, you forgot about the last 10 years and we just come back in and here's Bertie again, man of the people.
But you could argue. You know, I know Ireland did it in style. Yeah, but hang on. I'm not taking the blame away from him, right? But you could argue that, you know, that was a global economic downturn. Now, we got hit the hardest because of Anglo-Irish and what happened with the banks. But in saying that, there was a global downturn. There was a recession everywhere. It wasn't just Ireland.
Yeah. No.
But he left us remarkably exposed as well.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people said he jumped off the sinking ship.
The party of the Galway tents. Noel, come on. You want to go back to those old days?
Peter, can I give you a bit of information? I actually...
No problem. I'm all prepared to be enlightened.
No. I boycotted. Oh, no, not boycotted. I actually got into the last Galway tent because I was working with a girl. We were both working as reps on the road and we'd met up in Galway, finished up doing our work. And I said, come on, let's go to the races. And she said to me, I double dare you to get us into the Galway tent. And I said, right. And maybe I won't tell you how I did it, but I did. I bribed an ambulance guy.
You didn't have a brown envelope with you, did you,
Jay? Yeah, a brown envelope.
A brown envelope, and in we got. We had the best of crack.
Did you tell any untruths to get in there? I mean, look, Derrianne, to be fair to people who don't want to vote for him, you know, the tribunal didn't do him any favours. It accused him of telling untruths, which is a fancy word for lying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm kind of been funny because I have always had a soft spot for him.
He helped me out at one stage with a temporary radio license. And when I say helped me out, you know, he tried to help me out. He unfortunately couldn't, but he did try to help me out and he got me in the right communication with the right people, et cetera, et cetera. So he is a very formidable guy. He is a guy that's reasonably helpful. I think he just led the country. He just led the country in the wrong direction. Stay there for a second, Derrianne and Peter. Jonathan, hi, how are you?
Well, good evening. Yeah, how are you?
Good. Jonathan, who do you think would make a good president of Ireland?
We not have this conversation today.
On the podcast, we might have had. I let us all know if I'm ever going to throw my hat in the ring.
Hold on a second. Because you said something today I didn't even pop with me. You said the president has no power in this one.
Well, very little power.
He just pointed out, I've forgotten, on very, very important decisions, he is the last one in defence between them and the Supreme Court. You know, so...
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah. I would be lovely with I would much prefer someone like you in there for signing things like that than any of the rest of them.
Is there anybody else that you think would do a good job? Anybody?
Well, I didn't hear the names.
Forget about all the names, because the names are meaningless, because most of them haven't committed to it. It's just names that have been thrown around. I mean, is there anybody you can think of, you know, politician, celebrity, or somebody that you think would be a good representation for Ireland?
I think Carol Nolan.
Carol Nolan, okay.
Yeah, the independent from Offaly.
Yeah, okay.
Or Richard O'Donoghue. It has to be one of them two, because the only ones I can see are in integrity.
Richard O'Donoghue from Ireland, Independent Ireland.
From where is he from? Limerick again.
Limerick,
that's
the
only ones I can think of. You know, because the integrity, the backbone, and them two seem to have it, in my mind.
Yeah.
Watching them over the last couple of years, you know. Because the rest of them, it's been more of the same. They just whoop, they bleed Guinness, and they throw loads of parties, and just sign every piece of legislation.
Have we, in your view, by the way, have we ever had a good, really good president?
No,
I haven't really paid too much attention, to be honest with you.
That's the problem, isn't it? They don't really draw attention to themselves.
Well, barring the last column, what you were signing for the COVID and all that, I was paying attention to that, but other than that, not really.
Well, isn't that part of the problem? If we don't really remember how good or bad they were, did they draw enough attention to themselves? Did they do enough? Because we should know who they are. We should know more about them.
Yeah, but you would hope we'll be voting in the vote by people. You don't have to pay attention to them. They're just going to go do what's best for you. You know, you really shouldn't have to keep in mind these people day in, day out. Even though they are our employees, you would hope that they would do the job that we hired them to do, you know. And you wouldn't have to keep watching them like bleeding hawks day in, day out.
Do we need a president?
Doesn't look like it.
Yeah, I mean, Peter, do we need... Darian says yes. Jonathan says doesn't look like it. But, Peter, do we need a president?
Yeah, most certainly we do. We need to more certainly now than ever. For years and years, Áras Na Uachtaráin was always known as a retirement home for Fianna Fáil politicians. Now, I don't know.
This is what it was.
And, like, you know, I know they always said Mary Robinson changed the whole idea and stuff. But if you look at Mary Robinson's stand since, Mary Robinson has gone on the side of all the globalists. Like, you know, with all the last stuff that's gone on in the last few years, Mary Robinson has followed all the narrative of all the elites. You'd probably find her at Davos this weekend rather than standing up for the interests of ordinary people. Like you said, once you get into that club, it's unfortunately you need people who stand up, and like that's why you think you'd be in the perfect position, Niall, for it.
And that's why, Niall, if I can say. I don't agree that you have to come up with that money to go forward for president. That is
no, you don't have to have the money. I mean, the actual sign-in for the electoral register to run for presidency doesn't cost that much, but it's the campaign that is what you need that money for. Posters and leaflets and, you know, people around the country and travel and expenses for the 2 months that you're going back and forward to radio stations there. You know, and obviously you can't work during that time, so you have no form of income. So from that period of point of view, it's a really expensive thing to do, Daria.
Yeah, well, that's what we've got to change, because we do not want the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gaels, those people getting back in with their to be a president and keeping the old wheel turning, which does not work.
Okay, well, hang on a second, because I want to go to Jerry. Thank you, Darianne. Jerry, hi, right. How are you?
I'm grand, Niall.
How you doing?
Grand today.
Who would you vote for? Well, who would you like to see run for presidency? Not who would you vote for. We don't know who's running.
Well, first of all, I would just think the president that we had with the most principles what president should do was O'Dolic, and he was forced to resign over what the criticism from, I think it was Cooney that criticised him.
Yeah, I remember that.
Because he referred a bill to the Supreme Court. Yeah. And that's a president of principle. So, as regards all the presidents I know of, I think he was an outstanding figure. And but getting to now, I think we need somebody like him, somebody that's going to stand. And I'm not being smashed about this, but the likes of Carol Nolan, who's a previous caller mentioned, I mean, she's a lady of principle. And another one, I'm just going to throw this into the mix, and he's proved his stance. And he believes in this. It's in a book. So.
You might not agree with him. And I know he's in jail for contempt of court. But I suppose you could say a man of principle.
He's a man of principle.
But in saying that, if it was me, and I'm a man of principle, there's other ways to deal with that situation, Jerry.
But the thing is,
you don't have to stay in jail. You know, I think it's getting a bit silly now at this stage.
Well, that's leadership, Niall, isn't it?
Sorry, Peter.
That's leadership, Niall.
Sorry, I can only hear one at a time. Sorry, Peter, just respond to what I said.
Oh, sorry, but what you need there is leadership. But this, like the Enoch Burke situation should be not let to continue. If you had a proper Taoiseach in the country, or somebody should intervene on that and get down to the school and get their heads together and get it resolved instead of letting this charade continue. The problem is we've no...
But you're not going to resolve that situation. The school privately decided... But hang on, the school privately decided what to do. Now, that's entirely up to Enoch Burke and his legal team to take a case or appeal a case back to the school, to the High Court, Supreme Court, whatever he wants to do, right? That's not up to the state. That's between Enoch Burke and... Hang on for a second, lads. That's between Enoch Burke and the school. The judge at the moment, and people keep saying, oh, Enoch Burke is in jail because he refuses to call somebody by their pronoun. That's not true. That's not why he's in jail.
He's in jail.
Yeah, he's in jail because he's disobeying the order of the court to stay away from the school.
Just to give you the facts of that, Noel, as well, whether you disagree or disagree with him, the issues with Enoch Burke, for instance, one issue with that is the fact that he's not guilty of any criminal offence.
No, I know that.
And the court's going to find it difficult to deal with somebody who's not guilty of a criminal offence. It's a civil charge currently around that issue with him.
Oh, it's contempt of court, yeah.
That issue should be resolved.
Don't get me wrong. There are people who breach contempt of court orders all the time. I mean, when you look at the family law courts, people breach court orders every single day of the week. Yeah, they don't go to jail.
The more charged protesters, Noel, didn't purge their contempt. The more charged protesters, I knew personally, didn't purge their contempt and were released from jail for not purging their contempt.
But hold on for a second. That's fine. And I remember that story at the time. We all remember that at the courts at the time. But if they had gone out and done exactly what they were put in jail for, for contempt in the first place, they would have went back in again. So the point is because he keeps doing it, like he doesn't go back into jail for Christmas or the summer because, of course, the school isn't open. But it's because he's standing around the school. Now, look, I don't want to get into the... Hang on, lads. I didn't want to have a debate about Enoch Burke. And I did say he's a man of principle. And I respect that part of it. I do respect that. But I believe there has to be another way of sorting that out.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with the way he goes about it, but I mean, at the end of the day, the bottom line is that the issue requires leadership to get a resolve.
Yeah,
that's the point I'm making.
Enoch Burke, anybody else?
Francis Black, I mean, the list of people you see at the moment, but I was certainly for Francis Black, another lady of principle.
She is.
And I would certainly vote for Hope. I mean, the rest of them on that list, they'd be just in it with themselves. I've met three presidents in Ireland through my work as a bus driver. I brought different groups to Ours and Ucron. And the three of them I met, May Robinson, Mary McAleese, and Michael D. Higgins was probably a little bit better than the other two. But I mean, they went on like they were royalty. And I'm not telling you word for like, it was like meeting the Queen of England. They had that attitude and they were looking down on you. And I was only the bus driver. At two of them, I was stopping going in because I was only the bus driver. And the lovely, I don't know what you call him, the soldier that was there, the commandant, he came out of the bus and said, you're coming in me. And I came in and I stood there. But they wouldn't, and I'm not saying Mary McAleese and Mary Robinson wouldn't let me in. But it was that type of environment. It was like royalty looking down.
But that is the environment of the presidency, I suppose, generally speaking. Now, I can imagine, I don't think it would go to my head if I was a president, for example. I think it would just be me because I've always just been me. But here's the thing. I can imagine if, for a lot of people, to be given the element of power, when I say power, you're the first citizen of the country, essentially. You're the most powerful person in the country, allegedly. It can go to some people's heads.
But that's why the other on the list wouldn't even consider them, because that they do exactly, they wouldn't do what O'Dowling did, they wouldn't do what,
You believe they'd all just be yes people.
They'd be all just yes people, and I don't want to get into the baby in it. But what I'm talking about,
okay,
and I just gave him an example. Like, I'm not even giving that. I don't even get into that debate. But I'm talking about what you need in the Irish Neutron is somebody of a principle. I think Francis Black has the principles. I think you have the principles, whether you run or whether you don't. But it's Carol Nolan certainly has the principles. She resigned from the party because of her principles. All I'm saying is somebody's going to put her up to the government and say, no, you're not doing that. And even if the bill does get passed in the end and it goes to the council stage, at least they did something to stop it. I mean, we mentioned all the bills that went through, the water charges and other charges went through, the eviction bills. They just went ahead and signed them.
Or the emergency lockdown legislation and all that kind of stuff. Yeah,
They never stood up for the people. This is the president of our people.
Yeah, I do believe the president has a duty to question everything. That's their job, not just to sign something and put before them. Stay there, lads. I got to go for a break. The number is 087-188-0008. WhatsApp or text. Send us a WhatsApp, by the way. Who would you like to see as president? It doesn't have to be any of the names that we've talked about tonight, by the way. It can be any one of the names that's on the list already that, you know, people suggested. Or it can be a name that you think of yourself, somebody who's not on the list. Who do you think would make a good president of Ireland? Sean, hi, how are you?
How are you, Nate?
Good. Sean, who do you think, or who would you think would be a good representation for Ireland as our president?
How about Roy Keane?
Roy Keane. Oh, he is actually on the list. Roy Keane is down there on the list. Yeah, I think he's like 500-1 or something.
Well, you know what? Maybe he'll bump up if he keeps talking straight with people, you know?
Yeah, well, he hasn't officially announced he's going to run for presidency.
Some of the best of them can talk straight.
Yeah, and do you think he'd make a good president? Well, he's kind of a good team leader, isn't he? Although people might disagree. Well,
you know what? At least I was never a Man United fan, be honest with you, but at least he had the balls to stand up and say stuff when it was required to be said.
Yeah. I remember the time when he turned around and he was giving out about the Irish fans celebrating when they lose. You know?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. And we need someone that actually has a voice in the first.
Yeah, I mean, Peter, Sean mentions Roy Keane, who hasn't been mentioned tonight at all. He's a man who doesn't care how unpopular what he says is, as long as he means it. So he stands by what he says.
He was a great footballer, and he was against the prawn sandwich brigade. I remember Manchester United at the time, so I'm sure there's plenty in the prawn sandwich brigade in Ireland that he'll speak out against as well. So it must be his principle, but at the same time, it has to be a serious role. It has to be a role with somebody who has, like, you know, in terms of know where he stands in terms of values as well. I think that's so important, and where, you know, in terms of using the role effectively, like for the good of all the people of Ireland. Like, and I think, you know, have a council of state. Like, if you're president, you can put people on the council of state that, you know, from all parts of society. So you have a proper representative feel of what society really needs, like, rather than just having an echo chamber of your own.
I'll put you on my council of state, Peter, as my socialist.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
So you'd ignore me.
I'll put you on.
The opposite of what I'm saying.
I need a good mix of people, you know, different opinions, you know, to bounce off, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what you need, like, you know, because it becomes, like, I think even with, like, as your previous caller just said there about Roy Keane, like, you know, Keith, like, he calls it as it is, like, whether you like it or don't like it, like, you know, that's what you admire with people, like, you know, it's not easy sometimes to go against the grain. I know myself, even stuff I've done and stuff, and people are, they find it easy to criticise somebody, and it comes at no personal gain to yourself, but when you have principles and values, I think that's what stands up, and people know where you're coming from is a good place. Like, I think that's
Sean. Okay, sorry, Sean. Hang on, Sean. What about Bertie Ahern? A lot of people talking about Bertie Ahern. Would you give Bertie?
Why not?
What?
Why not? Sure, he only ripped off the country and bankrupted us. Let's make him president.
Yeah. let's make that's him the president. Job. So yeah. Yeah.
Sure, it's no different. It's no different than the new crowd we just elected again, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think any of them are worth being president, to be honest with you. Not one single person in that building there today. That's a charade. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here, look, nobody's even mentioning that they're using taxpayers' money to create junior ministry jobs to buy up their government.
Absolutely. No, I said it during the week. Wasting taxpayers' money. Sure, today was another waste of taxpayers' money. You know, I mean, every single one of them is being paid to be in there today. You know, the heating is on, the lighting is on, the security's there, the police are there. It's taxpayers' money being wasted and achieving nothing.
That's all a charade.
Yeah.
They had a big row on national TV or on radio, and then they all go into the dial bar afterwards, run up their tabs and go, "Well done, lads, you put on a good show." Mm. That's all it is, to justify their jobs.
But I heard was it Alan Kelly today, you know, the Labour, the fellow who used to call him AK-47, you know, the guy who passed into the water.
AK-47.
That's what they called him.
Alan Kelly 47, but go on, yeah.
he made a comment today, like, and he said that, he said, he says, I was talking to the lads in the opposition, not the opposition, the government benches today, and they were against this and said it's a complete farce. He said, but they wouldn't come out and defend it. And, you know, they wouldn't come out and actually criticise it. Mm. And I was like, the guys, as Sean said there, they're in one little club and they'll all go into the bar and be clapping each other in the back, having a chat and a good old pals act when they're all together. And then, like, when you know, when they're coming out, they play the Punch and Judy politics and the doll and pretend they're all whatever. I've seen them. Now, this is a personal thing, Noel, right? I've been at many elections and stood in elections, and I've seen the way they've reacted at elections and the way they've conducted themselves. And I've seen, like, Mary Lou McDonald go up to Alan Kelly at the end of the election when Ivana Bacic got elected. And it was like, you know, politics. It was like, you know, having a great chat and conversation and stuff. And, like, you think about it. Like, people are people. And that's grand to be civil. But the problem is that, like, where's their principles?
So what you're saying is they're all in bed together anyway, is what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so where do they really stand on anything? Like, you've had somebody, I'm not saying you get into a...
No, I know. I know what you're saying is when you see Mary Lou or, you know, whoever it is standing there having a go at you know, Micheál Martin or something, it's all theatre.
Yeah, exactly. It's all like Punch and Judy. And as Sean rightly said, like, they're all doing a lot of expense. There's 23 now junior ministers. Record amount of junior ministers. And there was nothing like junior ministers over 30 years ago.
No.
And in the Constitution, it only says executive assistants or secretary executives essentially were used as assistants to the senior ministers. And now they've created like super junior ministers, and it's still a Constitution.
Junior ministers.
You know,
they must have an excuse to pay them a bit more.
And then you have an opposition. Then you have like the Lowry Independents and Lowry. But Barry Heenan and a few others sitting on the opposition benches and saying, like, we're supporting the government, but we're in opposition. Like,
yeah, and we want to be able to do both. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
but they're taking a complete piss out of everybody, to be honest with you.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Billy. Billy, hi, how are you?
How are you, Nine? How's it going?
How are you doing? Billy, who would you like to see as president?
Well, all night we've been talking about politicians being president, and that chap just there was the first one to, was thinking my way, sports star, reckon. No particular order. I'd like to see they represent their country with the highest distinction worldwide. They've had to fight for everything they've got. Sonny O'Sullivan, Kelly Harrington, or Paul McGrath. And as an outsider, nobody's mentioned this man. He's a businessman. Michael O'Leary, of course.
Oh, yeah, Michael O'Leary. I'm surprised. Surprised his name is not on the list, by the way. Just
is he? But Paul McGrath would be great. Like, he represents Ireland well, and he would speak for the normal person. Kelly Harrington from the city centre, Dublin person, should be straight talking. And Sonia comes across great. Sonia's had to fight for everything she's won.
Here's the thing. I don't know the rules, right? But do you have to be born in Ireland to run for presidency?
Well, sir, they're all born in Ireland. People.
No, they're not. Paul McGrath wasn't born in Ireland.
Okay, well, leave Paul McGrath.
I don't think he was. But Molly, will you just check that there? I'm just curious. Now, I know he is Irish. But was he born in Ireland? I think he was born in Wales, wasn't he?
Oh, London, you could be right. And then he's in the home and he's got... Right, but leave him out.
I know, I could be wrong. I'm going to get Molly to check it out.
We still have Kelly Harrington and Sonia Sullivan.
Yeah. Like, well, I don't know what the rules are. Maybe you can be born outside of the state. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah, but they'd be great. Or Michael O'Leary. I don't want the politician. Obviously, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are going to put someone forward.
Oh, they will. But, yeah, of course they will.
But hopefully the... what you call it, politician doesn't get it, because the whole 161 TDs, majority of them are wankers. End of story. No, but they have been wankers for the last...
Say what you mean there, you know what I mean? Don't hold back there, Billy.
I mean. They're all wankers. And you're made Potter.
Okay. Don't call anybody in particular names. You get me into trouble, Billy, right? You can just generally call them that if you want to, right? Don't call anybody names. Sure you won't, Billy, please. Bertie was found on the tribunal of being guilty of untruths.
Niall,
yeah.
Listen, Niall, they're all worried about Trump. He's brilliant. He's the best thing since sliced bread. If he takes all the businesses out of America, it's up to our government to keep them in America, keep them in Ireland. That's what we paid him for, as you rightly said.
He was talking today, actually. Peter, I didn't get the update on that because I was working most of the day. But I know he did mention today about tariffs on the EU and reducing corporation tax to encourage American businesses back to America. So it's already happening.
Well, he's talking about the EU with the deficit, the trade deficit with the EU and with Ireland as well. But, like, you blame Ireland for this. You blame the Irish politicians and for not having a proper proper economic strategy. Like, our own resources and industries are being destroyed and decimated.
Do you think we're in trouble?
You can't understand Trump doing what he's doing.
Of course. Look, he wants to make America great again, not Ireland great again. So, but here's the thing. Do you think, like we talked about this during the week in the podcast as well, but do you think the doomsday is going to happen? Do you think foreign investment, American foreign investment, is going to move out of Ireland?
I don't think all of it will. I think it will. A lot of it is scaremongering, because I think manufacturing, to an extent, I think a lot of it will start back in the United States, most certainly. And okay. Any plans to have advances in European and Irish factories might be paused. It depends. But listen, as Trump is a businessman, all he wants is to do a deal. And he'll find a way to do a deal with them. You know, he'll talk tough, and at the end of the day, they'll come down to some sort of arrangement, whatever way it's going to be resolved. But the bottom line is that I blame the Irish politicians anyway, because they've done this for years and years. They've sold their soul to Europe. They've sold their soul to the big multinationals, rather than, as I said, supporting local indigenous businesses to grow and develop. Like, there's loads of great energy in Ireland that's being exported out of Ireland, and the Irish politicians are there more interested in rowing over speaking time. An RTE today had about 6 or 7 hours of it today. No, I didn't see.
By the way, I thought the clip of Sarah McInerney on RTE from primetime last night.
Say
to your man about citizens' birthright. You know, do you think your man turned around and said, "But you have that in Ireland, don't you?" And then she replied with, "At the moment, we do. It was voted in a referendum. It's not at the moment. We can't change it unless it's a referendum." So it's.
Yeah, exactly, but they're having a conniption, I wish they were forensic and actually going through and detailing the programme for government and having a look at the elements of the programme for government that they never even discussed.
I'm running out of time. Thank you very much indeed, Peter. Sorry, I'd love to have time to go into it all. Billy, Sean, thank you. Yeah, in relation to birthright citizenship, most countries now don't have birthright citizenship. They got rid of it years ago. Ireland got rid of it in 2004 in a referendum. It was referred to at the time, but although some people thought it was rude, it was called the Anchor Baby Law. In other words, somebody could come to a country, have a baby, and the baby would automatically be an Irish citizen, no matter where the person was from. And then the person, the mother or father, whoever it was, or the mother and father, would be allowed to stay as guardians of the child. And that was being abused, just like it's being abused in America. That's why he's closed it off. And kind of RTE were questioning one of the Republican parties over, oh, you know, this has been objected to in, you know, 20-something states in America. Do you think you'll get this through? But the problem I find with RTE at the moment is they look at the Trump presidency from a default Trump is bad position. Instead of looking at it from a neutral position, which is what we're paying for as taxpayers, because they're a public broadcaster paid for by taxpayers. So they don't look at it from a neutral position. They look at it from a default Trump is bad position, unless anybody can say otherwise. But your man pulled her up immediately and said, but you have that in Ireland. Why shouldn't we have it?
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.